You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You were just listening to Sola Rosa with the track Back to You featuring singer Noah Slee. And this morning we are joined by Andrew Spraggan, who is also known as Sola Rosa, and he has been involved in the music scene for quite some time. Good morning, and thank you so much, Andrew, for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
How are you this morning?
I'm good, thanks.
So you recently released a single called Back to You,
yep.
Which features the vocals of Kiwi singer Noah Slee. But before we go into that, I kind of just wanted to ask to begin with, You've released a collection of music throughout your career, and we kind of briefly, you touched on a little bit off air, but I wanted to kind of ask you, do you like to reflect on the music you've made previously?
Not really, no.
And why is that?
I think most producers especially that spend so much time working on their material in their studios, you know, you don't want to go back and listen, because you've listened to the track by the time you've put it out. You've heard it thousands of times probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you have to perform them for years and years, which is cool, because performance is completely different. And especially when you're playing with a band or whatever, it's, you know, there's new life to the track and you kind of change things and things progress. But with the recorded music, yeah, you're kind of always looking at the things you could have done or the flaws with it, instead of, you know,
enjoying
leaving it as to what it is. And yeah,
so I suppose it's a release.
It's public property once it's out there, and it's kind of no longer yours. So yeah, I don't go back and listen to things.
Fair enough. So how do you keep on going? How do you keep on making music and creating music? Because you've been doing it for quite a while now.
Yeah, well, it's not always an easy. It's, you know, I don't recommend it to my kids, but, you know, that they seem to be going down that path anyway. So,
oh, cool.
But, yeah, it's tough, you know. It's tough sometimes. But at other times it's completely magical and a blessed experience, you know, like especially when you find yourself overseas touring and performing in front of a whole lot of people and they're reacting and you know, it's you can't really beat that experience. And then those moments in the studio where you create something or you're collaborating with someone and it's just, you know, a great moment. That's what keeps you coming back to music. That, and I'm too old to do anything else, really.
Yeah. So how do you begin a piece of music? Do you sit down? Do you have like a procedure, or is it just
pretty
when it
much
happens?
Yeah. I'm like a record sampler. So yeah. I dig in the remaining record stores or you know, in op shops around the country and stuff, and just find... Usually it's better to listen to the music in store than just dig in op shops, because, you know, you never know what you're going to get. Usually you're just going for a cover that looks cool, or something that's got drums in the title, or, you know, percussion or something like that. But I kind of I spend a bit of time at Real Groovy, I guess, and buy a lot of records there.
Yeah.
And I start with a sample, and then I kind of build things around the sample. And quite often the sample will get ditched.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But it kind of gets me started, because I'm not that musical. I mean, I'm into production, but I've never really learned to play an instrument exceptionally well. So I kind of rely on other people for that.
Yeah. So how did you get into kind of using record samples?
I think because I played in bands for years, and then when I decided to build a little home studio, I think I just started with some really basic software they had back then, like, you know, like little 808, 909 software and some basic synths, and kind of made music without samples. But then I think probably through people like Stinky Jim and stuff, actually, who I was spending a lot of time with back in the day, who was with a band called Unitone Hi-Fi, and they were kind of involved in that whole sampling scene and stuff, and I don't know, I guess a lot of people I was listening to as well, like people on the Mowax label and Ninja Tunes, were sampling records, and
there's something really,
just kind of got into it that way, really.
Yeah, there's something quite powerful about it as well, like kind of looking or listening to somebody's piece of music and then realizing that they've taken something from another piece of music, or taken like foreign sound that you've never heard of before, and then you kind of start to explore.
I love it. I mean, it's people, you know, it's some people would see it as kind of you know, I guess plagiarism or theft or whatever, but I mean, you have to be really creative with the sample, and you have to kind of sometimes go really deep and pull it apart if it's too recognizable, or you're basically just floating on the sample itself, then you're kind of cheating.
Yeah,
you have to kind of cut it up and move things around,
which I can imagine is really technical.
It can be, but it's, you know, sometimes it's not. It depends. Yeah. it's a hard one to describe, but yeah.
Let's take a look at your single, Back to You. How did the idea for this track begin? Did you use a record sample for this track?
You know, I think I did, but it was one of those ones where it got completely ditched.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it ended up with this kind of halftime drum and bass feel, which is weird for me because I've never really gone down that road. But it is what it is, you know. It kind of it had its life. I tried to change the drum beat to make it a little bit more representative of me and the music that I'd made before, but it just never wanted to go there. It always wanted to stay with this boom ch boom ch thing. And then Noah came in and he just listened to a bunch of beats that I had and picked that one and just laid the vocal down really quick. And
because you've worked with Noah before,
yeah, on the last album.
And what is it about his voice and his sound that you really like? And
everything. Yeah, he's one of those artists you get to work with. Just like, you know, I could get him in a studio constantly and work with him as much as he would allow. Really, he's incredible and just really creative and willing to try anything.
Cool.
Not afraid to kind of, you know, if you're like, oh, not really feeling that, or you know, he's okay to change things and try something different.
And you've had a lot of varying artists featured within the track, and then also you've had some people contribute to the mixing of the track as well. Why do you like to have so much input from different artists? What do you think it brings?
I think it's partly because, you know, as far as mixing goes, I used to mix everything myself, and apart from in the beginning I had some help from an old friend, and then I kind of went alone and did everything myself. And I just got to a point where, you know, you hear it so much that you kind of need someone else with some technical expertise that can hear things slightly differently and is better at mixing than me. I'm not good at mixing. I mean, the test is if you send it to somebody else and they mix it and send it back to you and you A-B it with your mix and it sounds way better, that's a better outcome.
Yeah.
And mastering, I've never mastered my own stuff. It's always done through someone else, but...
So do you think collaboration is a really important part to your music?
I would collaborate more if I could, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, these days the band come in and lay down guitar and bass and keys, and I get, you know, horn players and string players. And
fantastic.
But, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, if I could, I would go into a studio with all the basic tracks and work with people for a six-month period or something and make an album that way. But, you know, very little people have the budget for that these days.
So is this sound a new kind of avenue of music for you? Are you kind of always wanting to explore new areas of music?
Pretty much. I think most artists are, but
yeah.
I mean, I've already kind of moved on from this, to be honest.
Really?
It's funny. Yeah, I'm making an EP at the moment, which, you know, and the whole focus of the EP is that it's more electronic based. So this track and So Fly, which was the first single, and working on others, but... Yeah, I'm also working on an album at the same time, and the album's got more of a kind of, I don't know, like a neo-soul kind of, probably more of a Solar Rosa circa Get It Together kind of vibe.
So why do you like to work, do you usually like to work on more than one thing at a time? Do you think it kind of allows balance to your music?
No, I've never done this before. I've never worked on an EP and an album at the same time.
And what's it like for you?
It's kind of weird, because they've got two different focuses, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having to split your brain in half.
It's a struggle at times, yeah. But, it's been cool. I went over to the UK late last year and locked myself in a studio for 2 weeks and just collaborated with UK vocalists. And that was a really good way to get a chunk of work done on a project quickly.
I suppose your involvement in the music industry for so long has meant that you've been able to form quite good relationships with people all over the place. How has that inspired your music, being able to work with so many people?
Well, it's amazing, but I mean, I in the past I've worked remotely with a lot of people, overseas vocalists, so they'd just hear a track and record in their home studio and send it back to me. But I'm kind of liking that less and less. I prefer to be in the studio with people, so hence...
Travelling
to do it. So that's a brand new experience. But even here, you know, quite a few tracks I've done in the past have been recorded remotely, but now I'd rather... get in the room with people.
There's something about
just that
presence.
Whole collaboration. Yeah, totally.
So this track, just forgive me if I'm getting this wrong, Back to You, is going to be featured through an EP that you're going to be releasing.
Yes.
Do you? I read briefly that you mentioned how you're talking about singles and how our world is or our music today is driven by singles rather than albums.
Did I say that?
I don't know. Maybe you did. I read
people
it somewhere.
People are always telling me that.
They are.
Yeah. And I mean, you hear that a lot
And what's your opinion?
It's a singles market and it's not an albums market and all that. Well, I don't really buy it so much. For me personally, I kind of think we're more of an album band, or I'm an album artist. I don't, you know, the whole singles thing, it's kind of a, you end up focusing on these singles or trying to make singles, and I don't really make music that way. I kind of just make tracks, and you know, if one happens to turn out to be more of a radio single, then so be it. But I prefer to focus on an album as a body of work and a project.
Because I suppose with an album, you've got the tracks. They're structured. I mean, I'm not a musician, but I'm going to guess they're structured so there's that continuity or that flow or that kind of narrative. Would you?
Yeah, there is when they're put together. But for me, I don't make an album thinking how are these tracks all going to work together. They're just representative of a period of time, and so they tend to be created from your influence, what you're listening to, and so there's sort of naturally a flavor to the whole body of work. And once you focus on making an album that way, you kind of you know, it ends up having a feel and a sound, and the artwork and everything has to be kind of representative of that period of time.
Yeah.
But if you're making singles, you're just really disconnected. You're, you know, you're focusing on a single at a time, and there's nothing to really tie it all together.
Yeah.
I guess if you make them separately like that, that is. But if you make an album and then they release the singles, you know, that's okay. But I tend to quite often, like, you know, the album will be finished next year, but singles may come out.
Yeah.
From the album before that. So yeah, so it's a weird process.
So are you going to be doing any shows in the future coming up?
I think so, but I'm just sort of looking at New Zealand shows at the moment. But I can't really you know, give anything away because it's, nothing's locked in.
Secret.
Yeah, I'm pretty much focused on this UK tour that we're doing in July, August, and playing at some really cool festivals over there and stuff. So it's all about that at the moment, that and making the EP, finishing the EP.
When do you reckon that'll be coming out?
Later this year.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to take your time.
Yeah, well, I kind of, it's, you know, it's been quite a long time since the last album. I just really wanted to take time with things and not rush everything, so yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
It's exciting to, be able to listen to some more of your music in the future.
Cool.
And yeah, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Cool, thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.